Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer. Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to project the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Welcome to the Active Wealth Show with your host, Fort Stokes. Fort is a fiduciary and licensed financial advisor who places your needs first. He'll help you protect and grow your wealth. The Active Wealth Show has grown because activators like you want to activate their retirement planning with sound, tax-efficient investing. And now, your host, Fort Stokes.
Welcome to the Active Wealth Show, activators. I'm Fort Stokes, your chief financial advisor, and I'm here joined by my esteemed executive producer, Sam Davis. And Sam, you got to say hi to the folks.
Welcome to the show, activators. Hope you're having a good weekend. Hope you're wearing sunscreen. It's got to be the hottest month so far of the year. It's been humid and hot in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's definitely getting or earning our nickname of Hotlanta in July. And just wait, August will be worse. But that's all right. We'll get it. And it's not a dry heat. It is a humid heat for sure. And hope everybody's staying cool out there. And hopefully everybody can find their HVAC contractor to make sure that their heating and air, but specifically their air conditioning, is working at full capacity during this hot time of the summer. So we've got a couple of great things for you today. We're going to share a Q3 market outlook from Mark DiIorio here in just a sec. And I also want to share 10 things that go up in price and in cost during retirement. So we're the 10 things that go up in retirement. So these are 10 cost increases that go up during retirement. You need to have a plan for them. And then we're gonna give you two strategies to help pay for these increased costs and to help you build a remarkable retirement for your future, because your retirement's gonna last probably 35 plus years. But first, let's get straight into a market update.
Your Active Wealth Market Update.
Initial jobless claims unexpectedly rose off of pandemic lows this past week, with 373,000 Americans filing for first-time jobless benefits. The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits last week unexpectedly rose, like we said, off of the lowest levels since the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic. Data released Thursday by the Labor Department showed, again, 373,000 Americans filed for first-time jobless claims in the week that ended July 3rd, up from an upwardly revised 371,000 filings the week prior. Analysts surveyed by Refinitiv expected a decline to 350,000 filings. Despite last week's small increase, the number of initial jobless claims have been more than halved this year after reaching a peak of 904,000 in January. Almost 6 million people filed for jobless claims in late March 2020 as lockdowns were put in place to slow the spread of COVID-19. The number of jobless claims is expected to fall further in the weeks ahead, as 26 states have already ended or announced the end of the $300 per week in supplemental benefits. The benefits will run out for the remaining states in September. Continuing claims for the week ended June 26, meanwhile, fell to 3.339 million filings from the previous week's upwardly revised 3.484 million. Analysts were expecting to decline to 3.335 million. The decline in continuing claims comes after the Labor Department's job openings and labor turnover report released Wednesday showed there were 9.2 million job openings, holding near a record high. The June jobs report last week showed non-farm payrolls grew by 850,000 workers last month as the unemployment rate ticked up to 5.9%. And obviously the market was off on Thursday, and it's going to be a bumpy July, we think, because you've got, you know, rumors of deflation a little bit. You've also got the pending battle over the debt ceiling that's going to have to be voted on in July. And we saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average down on Thursday trading of 446.39 at 1.29%. NASDAQ and S&P were off 215.19 points or 1.47% and 62.21% or 1.43% respectively. So that's kind of your market update, but let's look at the Q3 market outlook from our chief investment officer, Mark Diorio, who's also a certified financial analyst. And I think you're going to find it very interesting what Mark has to say. Go ahead and play Mark's update for us there, Sam.
Hi, this is Mark Diorio, chief investment officer. This is the third quarter market outlook. I just wanted to reiterate that we believe we continue to be in a secular or multi-business cycle bull market that started in 2012. The secular bull market is driven by ultra low interest rates. And when you adjust the valuation of the equity market for low interest rates, it suggests the market has more room to run. The secular bull market is also supported by corporate buybacks, which after taking a brief pause last year, has resumed in earnest. We also believe that disruptive innovation technologies will increase productivity to help drive the economy, and productivity has trended higher during the last several quarters. The cyclical recovery that started last year is now reaching mid-cycle. Earnings expectations are about as good as it gets, and the market has likely moved in anticipation of strong earnings. This lines up well with the cycle composite we showed in the first quarter market outlook. In brief, the market has followed the first half uptrend, but we should be aware that the composite does suggest a weaker second half. It is likely that an infrastructure spending bill is passed. While the numbers may sound big, they're spread out over several years and not likely to have much of an impact on overall economic growth. This leads to one of the risks as we enter the second half, that the stimulus boost is fading, which moves to the next risk, inflation. Except unlike what's commonly talked about in the media, it's not rising inflation, but declining inflation or deflationary effects from reduced stimulus and slower global growth. U.S. inflation has been the outlier. Broad inflation in other regions has not confirmed. A sharper than expected slowdown in China might be unfolding. Chinese credit growth is slowing rapidly. As we entered the year, we were looking for some mean reversions. One of those was that the 10-year Treasury rate, after declining last year, would normalize or move higher. We were also looking for value to outperform growth, and that has happened. But interestingly, that relative performance has now stabilized. As we move into the second half, it looks like stock performance relative to bond performance is stretched. In other words, if we get a slowdown and lower inflation, we could see decent relative bond performance. While I mentioned some risks in the second half, investors should not overreact. The keys to long-term success are combining thoughtful portfolio construction with a commitment to a disciplined approach. While there is always daily noise in the market gains do not accrue to short-term daily traders. They accrue to longer-term investors. This has been the third quarter market outlook.
I find what Mark Diorio said fascinating because you've got a secular bull market that started in 2012 because of the low interest rates, and that is generating investment in business and allowed business to grow and allowed our economy to grow. And so that's really good for the market outlook for us. Also, with everything that's going on in the bond market, although a lot of money with institutional investors has moved this past week from stocks into bonds, I wanted to remind everybody that right now, stocks are trading at like a go forward price to earnings ratio of right around 23. And the go forward price to earnings ratio for bonds is right around 150 times earnings, which is, if you don't think there could be a bond bubble, I would beg you to reconsider. And one of the strategies we're going to talk about in segment three is a bond replacement strategy to kind of offset some of the issues that we've seen in bonds this year. And a lot of our clients have taken advantage of it. And we'll talk through that in detail. But you're going to want to stick around to learn about how to replace your bonds with the right sound financial product that does not involve stock market or bond market risk. And so that's pretty helpful. Now, we're going to talk about the 10 things that go up in retirement over the next couple of segments. And I wanted to make sure everybody understands this is going to detail really some of the big headwinds you've got facing you during retirement on increased costs and what you can do about them. And then also a little sneak peek for next week, we're going to share the 7 things that go down during retirement. And so we're going to start with the bad news first, and we'll end with the good news next week with it. But these 10 items that go up, and we'll kick them off right here after the break. It's pretty remarkable. Some of these things, some of them you've thought of and some of you haven't thought of. And it's good to get a plan for all of those things moving forward. And also specifically the first like 10 years of your retirement, what to do about them, because it can really make a difference over your 35 plus year retirement. And we're going to give you again 2 strategies to deal with how to reduce your overall costs. And I'll give you those 2 strategies here in the coming segments, but I'll just go ahead and tell you now that we're talking about bond replacement and also Roth IRA conversion. And even kind of a third would be how to generate tax-free retirement income. So we'll give you 3 total in segments 3 and 4, but we're going to go ahead right after we get back from the break, we're going to go ahead and share the 10 things that do go up in retirement. Also, if you want to get this free list from us, all you have to do is send me an email at ford@activewealth.com. That's Ford, F-O-R-D, @activewealth.com. And we'll send you an email right back. And we're so glad you're with us here on AM 920 The Answer on the Active Wealth Show. And when we come right back from the break, we're going to talk about the 10 things that do go up in retirement for all of you activators out there. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Activators. I'm Ford Stokes, your Chief Financial Advisor. And if you're wondering who an Activator is, it's people who listen to the show. There could be pre-retirees, retirees, but they're folks who want a remarkable retirement. They want a successful retirement. They're looking to generate a tax-efficient, fee-efficient, and market-efficient portfolio. And if you want to be able to do that, then we can meet with you in our offices in the King and Queen building, or in our office in Kennesaw, or our office in Cartersville, or we can meet with you via Zoom, no problem. We're happy to do that as well. But all you need to do is pick the phone up and give us a call at 770-685-1777. Again, 770-685-1777, or visit activewealth.com and click that set an appointment button in the upper right corner. We had a really nice lady who was a little confused and felt like we would only do Zoom calls because of the way my calendar worked. But no, we'll absolutely meet with you. We prefer to meet with you live and in person in our office. And we've got a pretty nice view here in the Active Wealth Studios too. But our office is on the 29th floor of the King Building. And we also just want to make sure you don't just hang in there with your investments. We want to make sure that you are actively managing your portfolio. And that includes a bond replacement. That includes Roth ladder conversion. That includes rebalancing your portfolio every single month, so you don't just ride the lowest of the lows of the market. And again, if you click that set an appointment button in the upper right corner at activewealth.com, you'll get booked directly with me into an appointment directly with me. And we look forward to working with you. And if you've listened to the show for the last year or last 6 months or even the last 30 days, I would encourage you to give us a call and go ahead and take advantage of that free $1,500 value, because we're going to give you, with a free financial consultation, this is what you get. Normally we would charge $1,500 for it, but since you listen to the Active Wealth Show, we're going to give it to you absolutely for free. We're going to give you a free portfolio analysis, number one. So we're going to tell you what the risks you're taking, the fees you're taking during, you know, with your current portfolio. And then number two is we're going to give you a financial plan with your current plan to your 95th birthday. Then number three, we're going to give you a financial plan with our recommended portfolios. And then number four is we're going to give you a 50-50 plan with tactical asset allocation, and then also a bond replacement strategy that could help you really reduce your risk and also generate income for you that you can never outlive. And number five is we're going to give you our recommended financial plan with a Roth ladder conversion. All of that absolutely at no cost to you to help you take on retirement. Because you know what? Knowledge is power. And we want you to make an informed financial decision about what you're doing to invest your hard-earned money, but also your hard-saved money. I mean, it is probably hard. It's easier to work and make money in today's America than it is possibly to save sometimes because of increasing prices and gas and cars and boats and houses and real estate and all that kind of stuff. And even food costs are starting to really creep up too. And those are things that retirees use. So let's go straight into it now with the 10 things that go up in retirement. Number one is travel costs, because let's say you retire at age 65 or 67. Let's say you make it to full retirement age at 67 years old for you because you were born after 1960, or maybe you were born before 1960 and your full retirement age is 66 and 6 months or something. And you want to travel between the age of 65 and the age of 75 years old when you have the energy to do so and the want to do so. And you want to look forward to different trips and things like that. Your travel costs are going to go up in retirement. Absolutely. Some of the strategies to reduce those costs of travel is to do Airbnbs instead of staying in really nice high-end luxury hotels. But again, travel costs do go up. You also want to book your flights way in advance. You want to be cost effective and compare pricing on rental cars and things like that. Or maybe you travel via train in Europe or something like that versus driving your own car. And also you can go on cruises that take you different places. And I know a lady who literally has, instead of living in an assisted living facility, after her husband died, she went and just travels 50 weeks a year on the same cruise ship. And she takes 2 weeks off and spends time with her daughter at Christmas, and then gets back on the cruise ship and family and friends come and visit her on the cruise ship, which I thought was pretty interesting. So travel costs is the number one item that goes up during retirement. Number two is utilities, because you are home more. You're utilizing utilities more. You may have the air conditioning up higher when you're sitting at home versus what you would have been when you were at work. You may have the heat up during the winter when you're at home, or you may be using more lights in the home that are turned on when you weren't, normally you'd been at work. So your utility costs, anticipate those going up slightly. You also may be paying more money for your cable bill because you want to get more channels. You want to be able to be entertained and have all the great shows kind of pour all over you while you're sitting on the couch. And number three is really a good one. So number two is utility costs going up. Number three is fitness or exercise. Many retirees will join a gym and they hadn't joined one before. The hustle and bustle of life, they get in better shape, and therefore their fitness and exercise costs go up. They go to different Pilates classes, or they get a personal trainer or whatever they do, but fitness and exercise costs do go up during retirement. And number four is, and I would encourage you to keep that cost going up. You don't want to cut corners on some of the fitness costs, although there's a sidewalk out there for just about everybody in the United States, specifically here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I would encourage you to walk every day. One thing that Al Roker and Willard Scott and all those folks did when they would interview folks on the Smucker segment, when they interview people who've lived to be 100 years old, their secret almost 100% of the time, the one consistent theme of all of those people is that they have walked every day during retirement. They've walked. So I would encourage you to make sure you get out there and do that. And it doesn't cost anything to get out there and walk. Number four is books and reading. A lot of folks, to keep their mind sharp, they're no longer working, but they're seeing an opportunity to learn, and they're still learning even though they're they're retired and they're keeping their mind sharp. So they spend money on Kindles or they spend money on books and audio books and Audible subscriptions and things that they didn't do before they retired. And one of the things I would encourage you to consider doing to reduce those costs is to visit your local library, because you can check out free books and audio books from the libraries, and even use, you know, their internet if they're open after COVID. And so that's something I would ask you to consider doing, is visiting your local library and checking out books instead of just buying books. But what we've seen is books and reading, according to our clients, those expenses do go up during retirement. And let me just recap the first four. So we got travel costs, utilities, fitness and exercise, and books and reading are all categories of things, of items that go up in costs for retirees during retirement. And then number five is moving and relocation. A lot of my clients downsize and they move, and they haven't moved in 30 years or 20 years. And so their moving and relocation costs do increase. They also, some of them will try to follow and relocate with kids and grandkids to help out with babies and to spend more time with their grandkids. And even though you might be reducing your mortgage costs, you're absolutely seeing moving and relocation costs going up, and you want to make sure you're taking advantage of senior discounts. You want to make sure you subscribe to AAA so you can try. Some moving companies will offer senior discounts or AAA discounts, and you want to make sure that you're also protected where people aren't taking advantage of you and charging too much money. You want to get three multiple bids when you're moving out of the family home. And also, you may want to invite all the kids over and say, hey, come select some of the things you want out of the family home because we're downsizing. But you want to try to keep the moving and relocation costs down to a minimum, because that sometimes that's money that's coming straight out of your IRA and you're paying taxes on that money too. And so moving and relocation costs can be an issue and a factor. But almost all retirees, they're going to spend more money moving and relocating. Also, we see widows spend a lot of money on moving and relocation costs because they no longer have the husband there to help move items. And when they pass away, and that is also of a concern. So make sure that you have a plan for that, and also make sure that your family is involved in that plan to reduce the moving and relocation costs. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the next five items that go up during retirement and what to do about them. But just to quickly recap, the first five are travel costs, utility costs do go up during retirement, fitness and exercises costs are usually increased during retirement, books and reading, those costs do go up, and then also moving and relocation. And we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the next five things that go up in costs during retirement and how to counteract those. You're listening to Active Wealth Show right here on AM 920 The Answer. And welcome back, Activators, the Active Wealth Show. And we're talking about on today's show, we're talking about the 10 things that go up in price and costs for retirees. And the first five, let me recap real quick, were travel costs, utilities, fitness or exercise, books and reading, and moving and relocation. So those are the first five. Here's the next five. So number six is charitable donations. A lot of people are focused on what they care about, and they do donate more to charities. And they're also bombarded with requests for money from different charities. And they may have more, they're spending more time at church, and they may have more demands on their money and their time with charitable donations. So we see that charitable donations do go up during retirement. And you need to be smart about it. You want to make sure that you're doing what the airlines tell you to put the mask on yourself before helping others, right? And so you need to make sure you've got enough money where you're not outspending, you're not spending more than 4% of your principal each year and following that 4% rule. But within that 4% rule, you absolutely should and definitely do charitable donations, because a lot of those charities really depend on their donors, and they're not able to get money from government subsidies or government payouts. And so it's very helpful, and we encourage all of our clients to donate more money to charities when they're able to, but definitely take care of yourself first. Number seven is discretionary spending. And this is probably the second biggest one. We're going to talk about the next two. The next two are the biggest ones of cost increases for folks during retirement. Discretionary spending, that day-to-day spending. As Sam talked about in the break, he said that, you know, there's, when you're retired, you've got eight more hours a day to spend money. And a lot of us get that rush and that reinforcement when we buy, you know, that new item. You know, if you buy new shoes, if you're a guy, or if you buy a new dress, if you're a girl, or, you know, or you're running out and going getting the latest really cool toy. If you're going to get a four wheeler, if you're a hunter or a fisherman out there, or a new boat, or, and if the woman decides she's going to get a she shed out back, and she's going to fortify it with a lot of really cool knickknacks, decorations, and comfortable couches and chairs and stuff, the discretionary spending just goes up. And that is just something to really consider. You've got to make sure that you're filling the time with something other than just spending money during those 8 hours. But discretionary spending day to day definitely goes up. And also, you're at home more. Sometimes you'll see, you know, the money you're spending in feeding yourself or whatever, or even going out, it can cost more money because you're just eating more meals, and you're not at work, and you're not doing something quick, and you may have something more elaborate like going to lunch with the ladies or whatever. And number eight is the biggest expense. The biggest expense that rises the very most during retirement is healthcare costs. You've got co-pays, you've got, even though you're on Medicare, but you've got Medicare supplement insurance, and then also, you know, the Medicare costs are coming out of your Social Security payment, your Social Security benefit check as well. But healthcare costs are absolutely going to go up in the future because none of us are immortal, and all of us are going to be dealing with different ailments, and especially before we die, and your healthcare costs are going to go up, and you need to have strategies around that. And one of the ways to do that is to cap all of your costs with a Medigap or Medicare supplement plan. And we work with an exclusive company that helps folks do that. We don't make any fees off of Medicare, but they have options for Medigap and Medicare supplement plan insurance plans, and also Medicare Advantage plans. And we're happy to help introduce you to the right folks to reduce all of your fees just on the insurance part of it. But you want to cap where you have no more co-pays, and you want to be careful about, you know, the co-pays and also, you know, any other deductible costs or any other costs you've got from a hospital visit or surgery or in a surgery center or whatever, and even just doctor's visits. The other thing is, be careful on dental costs because your teeth are older and you need to be careful and maybe have dental insurance as well to cap your costs. You can plan for those increased dental costs. A lot of folks that we work with, their dental costs, part of their healthcare costs, do go up, and they spike, and they will, instead of doing dentures, they'll do implants and replace their teeth and have great teeth throughout and also keep more bone in their jaw. I'm not a dentist, but that's what I've been told by dentists, and that's what I've been told by some of our clients. And the cost is like $20,000 to $40,000, but they never have to get dentures, and they have a lot more confidence when they're in social settings and things like that. And so that's just something to consider. But again, healthcare costs do go up during retirement. And I would say dental costs are included in that. The number nine is debt service. Believe it or not, the average retiree spends 40% of their income on debt service payments. And the one thing here is get rid of all credit card debt. Do everything you can to reduce your credit card debt down to zero before you retire, because life's going to be very different when you're no longer getting that check that's getting deposited in your bank account. Or if you're looking back in old times that, you know, that check that was going to get mailed to you in your mailbox or got handed to you on every other Friday, when you don't have that check hitting your bank account every 2 weeks, then that's a real concern. And you need to make sure that you don't have debt reducing your lifestyle, and you need to go ahead and take care of all that debt. Do everything you can also to pay your house off. I mean, the happiest retirees I deal with are folks who've paid their house off. And don't pay it off necessarily all in one chunk. You can pay it off in over a 3 to 4 or 5 year period after you retire, so you're not getting the huge hit, the several hundred thousand dollar hit on taking income from your IRA, and you're not drawing down all of your principal at once either. But you don't want to move from a 22 or 24% tax bracket into a 37% tax bracket. You just don't want to do it. So be careful about how you pay off your mortgage, but debt service is a big one. And a lot of that 40% are in mortgages and also car payments as well, and credit card debt. And there's a lot of strategies around that. We're going to talk about some of the strategies that we can do to reduce our transportation costs and other things next week. But one of them is to go to one car instead of two cars. A lot of couples don't need two cars. Then number 10 is financial planning. Believe it or not, financial planning costs do go up for people who are retired, because and rightfully so, they need to understand what their risks are, what the fees they're paying, but also how do they manage their portfolio properly. But there's a way to reduce those fees. And I would encourage you to give our office a call at 770-685-1777. Again, 770-685-1777. And we'll help you reduce the expense ratio within your portfolio. We'll also help you reduce your financial advisory fees and your expense fees that you probably are paying now. And if you're in an old 401k and you're just about to retire, that call could be the best call you ever make during your 35 plus year retirement. Again, I would encourage you to give our office a call at 770-685-1777 or visit activewealth.com and click that set an appointment button in the upper right corner. And we're happy to help show you how to reduce your costs and your fees regarding financial planning, regarding your portfolio, and some of the things you don't even know about right now. And if you've got questions and you don't know what an expense ratio is, or you don't know what standard deviation is as a measurement of risk within your portfolio, then I would encourage you to take advantage of our free $1,500 offer and come in and get a free financial consultation. We're absolutely ready to help and give you a free financial consultation, absolutely at no cost to you. All you have to do is visit activewealth.com and click that set an appointment button in the upper right corner, and we're happy to help you. And again, feel free to give us a call at 770-685-1777. So let me recap real quick the 10 things that go up in retirement. Also, if you want to get this list and our report on this, all you have to do is send me an email at ford@activewealth.com. That's ford@activewealth.com, F-O-R-D, just like the truck, ford@activewealth.com. That's my name, and I'm your chief financial advisor. So let me recap real quick the 10 things that go up in retirement. Number one is travel costs. Number two is utilities. Number three is fitness or exercise. Number four is books or reading. Number five is moving and relocation. Number six is charitable donations. Number seven is discretionary spending. Number eight is healthcare costs, which is the number one largest expense that rises the most in retirement. Number nine is debt service. And number 10 is financial planning. And we can help reduce those financial planning cost increases. Absolutely, 100%. We're happy to help you. When we come back for the break, we're going to give you, here in segment four, we're going to give you the two strategies that really will help put more money in your pocket. And there are six-figure secrets in here of what we're going to share in segment four. You're listening to the Active Wealth Show right here on AM 920 The Answer. Hello, Activators. I'm Ford Stokes, Chief Financial Advisor. Welcome back here to segment four. We've been talking about the 10 things that go up in increased cost during retirement. And I want to give you three strategies that will help you reduce your fees and your costs and your taxes you're going to pay during your 35 plus year retirement to help offset some of these cost increases on these 10 items. And again, if you want a list of the 10 items, all you need to do is send me an email at ford@activewealth.com. That's F-O-R-D, like the truck, ford@activewealth.com. All right, let's go right into it. Number one strategy is bond replacement. We want to replace the bonds that are in our portfolio, delete the financial advisory fees we're paying on the bonds within our portfolio immediately by investing into a fixed index annuity that is a sound financial product that can also generate income just like bonds do, but doesn't carry the inherent bond risk and the bond market risk that bonds have with reinvestment risk and interest rate risk and other types of risk. If you want to get market-like gains without market risk, I would encourage you to invest in a bond replacement with a fixed index annuity. And we can show you how to do that. Also, if you want my free report on bond replacement, it's a very detailed report. All you have to do is visit bondreplacement.com. That's bondreplacement.com. Sam, go ahead and play chapter 15 from my new book, Annuity 360, so they can understand and hear the great strategy. There's also great audio that Sam put together for us on this audiobook chapter on bond replacement. Sam, go ahead and play chapter 15 on bond replacement from my new book, Annuity 360.
Chapter 15. Bond replacement with fixed indexed annuities. Big idea. Historically, bonds have seen volatility when the market is volatile. Fixed index annuities are not subject to the same volatility, which makes them a much safer investment. You might have heard a financial advisor talk about replacing your bonds with annuities to protect your wealth and grow your retirement funds. At my firm, Active Wealth Management, we believe this is a smart way to protect your future. Many people have learned that bonds are a safe way to invest your money. But there are some downsides to bonds that should make you think twice. We'll talk about some reasons why you should consider replacing your bonds with annuities. First, here's some information on the history of bonds in the United States. Historical bond volatility. The 1900s saw two secular bear and bull markets in U.S. fixed income. Inflation peaked at the end of World War I and World War II due to increased government spending. The first bull market started after World War I and lasted through World War II. The U.S. government kept bond yields artificially low until 1951. The long-term bond yields were at 1.9% in 1951. They climbed to nearly 15% in 1981. In the 1970s, globalization had a huge impact on bond markets. New asset classes such as inflation-protected securities, asset-backed securities, mortgage-backed securities, high-yield securities, and catastrophe bonds were created. Early investors in these new asset classes were compensated for taking on the challenge. The bond market was coming off its greatest bull market coming into the 21st century. Long-term bond yields declined from a high of 15% to 7% by the end of the century. The bull market in bonds showed continued strength in the early 21st century, but there is no guarantee with our current market volatility that this will hold. See chart 15.1 to see the incredible difference of investing in a fixed index annuity versus investing in bonds. Why you should consider replacing your bonds with annuities. The first question you should ask yourself is this: why would you take market risk with your bonds when your bonds can lose their value? If you just look at the history alone, you can see how uncertain the future of bonds is. Inflation and fluctuating interest rates play a big role in bond yields. Interest rate risk of bonds. Bonds and interest rates have an inverse relationship. When interest rates fall, bond prices rise. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, investors have moved their money to bonds because they believe it is a safer investment option. However, this has caused bond yields to fall to all-time lows. As of May 24, 2020, the 10-year Treasury note was yielding 0.64% and the 30-year Treasury bond was at 1.27%. Reinvestment risk of bonds. This is the likelihood that an investment's cash flows will earn less in a new security. For example, an investor buys a 10-year, $100,000 Treasury note with an interest rate of 6%. They expect it to earn $6,000 a year. At the end of the term, interest rates are 4%. If the investor buys another 10-year note, they will earn $4,000 instead of $6,000 annually. Consider the possibility that interest rates change over time when deciding to invest in bonds. Systematic market risk. This refers to the risk that is inherent to the market as a whole. It will affect the overall market, not just a particular stock or industry. This can be unpredictable and it is impossible to avoid. Diversification cannot fix this issue, but the correct asset allocation strategy can make a big difference. Unsystematic market risk. This type of risk is unique to a specific company or industry. Similar to systematic market risk, it is impossible to know when unsystematic risk will occur. For example, if someone is investing in healthcare stocks, they may be aware of some major changes coming to the industry. However, there is no way they can know how those changes will affect the market. There are two factors that contribute to company-specific risk. Business risk. There are two types of risk, internal and external. Internal refers to operational efficiency. An external would be similar to the FDA banning a specific drug that the company sells. Financial risk. This relates to the capital structure of a company. A weak capital structure can lead to inconsistent earnings and cash flow that can prevent a company from trading. Reduced advisory fees. Investors who trade individual stocks may know how much commission they are paying their broker, but individuals who buy bonds often have no idea what type of commission they are paying. Bond dealers collect commission on bonds they sell, called markups, but they bundle them into the price that is quoted to the investors. This means you are unaware of how much commission you are actually paying. Standard & Poor's estimates of bond markups is 0.85% of the value for corporate bonds and 1.21% for municipal bonds. However, markups can be as high as 5%, up to $50 per bond. Bonds have finite durations. Bonds only provide income for a finite amount of time, unlike an annuity, which provides income for life. You must reinvest your money if you want to continue generating interest with bonds. However, reinvesting with a bond can sometimes come at a loss, as we discussed above. Annuities will provide you with an income you can never outlive.
Thanks for listening to that chapter on bond replacement. I think you can find that the bond replacement is a remarkable strategy that you really should learn about. And the best way to do that is just visit activewealth.com and click that set an appointment button in the upper right corner. So the number one strategy to offset these rising costs, these 10 items during retirement, is to replace your bonds within your portfolio and reduce your advisory fees or delete them altogether with your bonds. There are the advisory fees that are associated with the management of your bonds. And then the next strategy is Roth IRA conversion. I had a gentleman who came into my office this past week. Unfortunately, he and his wife just finalized their divorce, and we wish both of them well. I have not met his wife. I'm only working with him. And he had $1 million IRA. He had to split it with his wife, which is the right thing to do. And he gave $500,000 of his IRA to his wife, and he's keeping $500,000 in his IRA. But he's only got $16,000 into a Roth IRA, and he is incredibly interested in reducing the taxes he's going to pay during retirement. So what he's done is he's implementing a Roth ladder conversion each of the next like 6 years. He's basically converting. He makes $70,000 a year. He's 65 years old. He's going to try to work to age 70. As a single filer with his taxes with the IRS, he's trying to stay below $164,925 in total income. And when you do conversion, it does add to your ordinary income for the year, and he's got to pay the taxes on that. So he makes $70,000 a year right now. And what he's doing is he's going to convert $90,000 a year for each of the next maybe 6 to 7 years, because he's also got to eat up some of the growth, right? And he, by doing that, he is going to save $248,684 in actual reduced taxes during his 35 plus year retirement, or his 30 year retirement, because he's 65 now. We're taking him to 95 years old. That was the estimate and the plan that we've got. And we're saving him six figures during retirement. Then the number three option is to consider doing generating tax-free income. And I don't have enough time to go into how to generate tax-free income today on this show. We'll talk about it next week, but I would encourage you to just reach out at activewealth.com, click that set an appointment button, and book an appointment directly into my calendar. We're happy to help you. And now let's go straight into the final countdown. It's the final
countdown. So let's recap what you may have missed. It's the final countdown.
So in the final countdown today, Mark DiIorio shared his Q3 market outlook, and he stated that we were basically still in a secular bull market that started in 2012. Also to be on the lookout that the second half of 2021 would not be as great as the first half of 2021. And we talked about the 10 things that go up in retirement: travel costs, utilities, fitness and exercise, books and reading, moving and relocation, charitable donations, discretionary spending, healthcare, debt service, and financial planning are all the 10 things that go up during retirement. We're so glad you've been with us here on the Active Wealth Show. And next week, we're going to talk about the 7 things that retirees spend less money on during retirement. We're going to give you some of the good news, and we're also going to give you more strategies on how to reduce your fees, reduce your costs during retirement, so you can enjoy a successful and remarkable retirement. And we wish you all the best, and I hope everybody has a great week. Remember, when you're investing, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly, take action with your retirement plan. And we'll talk to you next week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Active Wealth Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free consultation, call your chief financial advisor, Ford Stokes, at 770-685-1777 or visit activewealth.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Active Wealth Management are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.